Good evening. It's wonderful to be back with you this evening. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, talk with you about God's Word. We're going to be studying in the book of Daniel tonight, beginning in the first chapter. So I can go ahead and turn there if you like. I just want to mention something before we start that is kind of amazing to me. And that is that this book, my Bible, it's my copy, has 1,200 pages in it, basically. Now, I say this because of tonight's lesson, but that's not very many pages. I have a lot of books in my library that, especially the ones that came from Dad's library, that are much, much larger than that, and probably sets of books that run 50, 60,000 pages. And they're remarkable, of course. But the Bible, they have nothing to compare with what the Bible is even set out to do. Because by its very nature, it has to be able to help anyone in this world get to heaven. That means it does not matter what their background is. It doesn't matter where they came from. It doesn't matter what country they're in. It doesn't matter what tongue they speak. It has to take all of that from any place they are and bring them to a place where they can understand and know that they can be saved. And then it has to, for each and every one of those, regardless of where they are after they're baptized, and their journey as a Christian and learning begins, when at that point it has to be able to take them and help them to finish out the Christian life with Christ in their lives. Now that's remarkable. In 1,200 pages, God's done that. So it comes as no surprise that in that 1,200 pages, He's going to do some kind of strange things. And so there'll be some lessons kind of stuffed into pockets where we don't really expect them. That's what we're going to do for a moment tonight. And all of us realize this happens in the Bible, and we come across it all the time. But there's a remarkable one that's in about the first four chapters of Daniel that to me stand out. And we know the stories that happened there. We know about the dreams and so forth, the great statue that was built by Nebuchadnezzar that the Hebrew children would not fall down to. And we're going to be going through those stories. I don't have time to deal with them very much, but we're going to do a little bit of it. And I know that you know those stories, so we're not going to feel like we have to repeat them. But I want to show you something that happened alongside that teaches us an interesting lesson. Now, as I do, I don't know whether to say this at the beginning or at the end, but we'll just do it at the beginning. As I do, there's not anything in the new law that tells us what commodities or what amounts that we are responsible for in anything, not even in giving. That's all been taken out. And I know people still use the phrase tithing and so forth, but it's not in our New Testaments. And as we look at the New Testament, look at what we're to give according as we have, looking at what God has given us, we give as we have proposed in our heart to give. Now, all of those amounts have been taken away. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this lesson tonight, because no one has the right to look at anybody else and say, well, you ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. As a matter of fact, that's partly what the lesson is about. But you should be doing this or that or the other. You should be giving more of your time or more of your money or whatever. That is for each and every Christian person to decide, and it's never been decided for them. Not ever. So let me just start back in the pages of Daniel, and let's start in that first chapter. And when the Bible does this, when it has this capacity to help each of us reach heaven, it does it perfectly. It has every capacity to help every single Christian person finish this race and be successful in it. So if you'll go with me to Daniel 1, in this first chapter, we're going to read the first seven verses. Now, the amazing thing, we're not going to be looking at a Hebrew. We're not going to be looking at an Israelite. We're not going to be looking at Daniel. We're not going to be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the learner of our lesson, or the one teaching us the lesson. We're going to be looking at God and his dealings with Nebuchadnezzar, of all people. I want to take you back just for a second to hold where you are in Daniel, and we'll just go back for a second to, let me see if I can find this. It's 2 Chronicles 36. It's immediately before. It's what led up to what we're going to begin to look at tonight. And I want to read just a few verses with you to help you understand what set up our lesson for tonight and the kind of nature that this man is of, this man Nebuchadnezzar. He's not somebody that I would want to be found on his porch. He's not somebody that I would want to count on him as a friend. He's pretty self-centered. He pretty much everything was for Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the way he seems to me as I look at him. Now, before it's over, you'll realize that if you read, go back and read part of, especially the fourth chapter, Daniel came to have quite a respect for him. But to me, he's just kind of a harsh old fellow of this world. But God uses him to teach us a lesson that helps us through life. It helps to look at ourselves and realize where we are and what we are and what we need to do. And some of the responsibilities that we have and some of the things that we need to be aware of as we go through life. So if we're making mistakes in those things, we can correct them. And nobody else, this is the reason I said what I did a while ago, nobody else can do that for us. We have to do that for ourselves. That is a personal thing with us. Okay, Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7. And what has happened, and I want to go back first of all to 2 Chronicles. I told you I would. Let me go back there right quick. 2 Chronicles 36. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 20. And this is immediately before it even brings us in to the book of Daniel. 14 through 20. Moreover, the chief of the priests and the people, they transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sitting, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked those messengers of God. They despised his words and they misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden or old man or him that stoops for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of God, the treasure of the king and the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and brake down the walls of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Israel's gone. It's gone. That's the last. Several hundred years ago, the northern kingdom was taken. This is the last of the southern. God's tried and tried and tried to work with them until there's no remedy. This is all he can do. And so as we go to the book of Daniel, this is what follows it immediately. They are arriving with these people and these things that Nebuchadnezzar had brought back. So we get our first look at, in these first verses, these first seven verses, at King Nebuchadnezzar. Reading from chapter 1 in Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenath, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in the wisdom and the cunning, in knowledge and understanding and science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among these were, and I'm not going to use those other names, I'm just going to say Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave them to Daniel, also to the others, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Now, what I want you to look at is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came back with those things of God. They were out of God's house. He had torn that down, burnt that, left nothing of the city. Years later, 70 years later, Ezekiel, now Ezra and Nehemiah will come back and try to rebuild part of that city. But he has brought that back. Now, did you notice what he did with it? He took what was God, what belonged to God and what God had sanctified, he took all that belonged to him, he put it in the house of his gods. He gave it to his gods. Not only the things of a physical nature that he brought back with him, he also took the people of God, all these young men that were servants of God, and he took them and he tried to see which ones it was he could use in his kingdom for his welfare. When we first meet Nebuchadnezzar, is Nebuchadnezzar gets home, and he is just wrapped up completely in Nebuchadnezzar. God doesn't mean anything to him. These people don't mean anything to him. Whatever I can get out of them, that's what I want out of them. Whatever it is, whatever value there is in them, whether it has to do with the pots that were found in the temple, or it has to do with the men, the young men that came back, I want to see what I can get out of that. Now, I want you to realize what we're talking about. We're talking about people at this point in their life who everything's for me. It all came from God. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. It all came from God. I told him one time in Fairfax, I said, now, if there was a big old silver platter outside the back of your house every day, and on that silver platter was all the food you needed for that day. Sometime during the night, it just appeared out there, and you went out in the morning and you got it, you would know that all came from God. God doesn't do it that way. He used the natural means. But it still all came from God. It's all from God. Every bit of it is from God, and many people in this world, no matter what they get their hands on, however they get it, it goes into the things that they worship. Now that may be, well, you put your name on it. You just decide what it is that people just spend their time and all that God entrusted them for, but there's no real interest in God or His. That's where we first meet Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly where we meet him. Now we're going to go to chapter 2. And I'm going to try to read enough of chapter 2. And what happens in chapter 2 is kind of a remarkable thing, because in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it points out to us at the first of that chapter, this is the very next year after chapter 1. And Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And this dream bothers him because he can't figure out what this dream means. And he knows good and well, I have all these Chaldeans and all these people they're magicians, basically, is what they are. And they know all this stuff, and they can tell me anything I want to hear. But I know exactly what, if I tell them what the dream was and ask them what the meaning is, I don't know whether they're telling me the truth or not. I don't know if they have any vision beyond any other man. And so he calls them all in, and he says, I want you to tell me what this dream is. And they said, well, okay, tell us the dream. No, I'm not going to tell you the dream. I want you to tell me what the dream was, and then I want you to tell me what it said. And he said, no, I'm not going to tell you what the dream is, because then I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now that you're going to tell me, or you're going to die. You're going to tell me what the dream was that I dreamed. then you're going to tell me what it means. And they said, well, nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. He said, you are dead men. And he told those that follow him, he said, I want them all put to death, all of them, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the news came to Daniel, what was happening, he said, why is the king in such a hurry? He said, give us a little bit of time. And he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about it. Let him give us a little bit of time, and we'll ask God about it. There's a God in heaven that can give you an answer. And so go down with me in chapter 2, and we're going to start with about verse 25 in that chapter, okay? 25. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste, was brought to Daniel before the king in haste. And he said to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, your name was Belshazzar. Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation of it? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and he said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men or the astrologers or the magicians or the soothsayers, they can't show the king. But there's a God in heaven. Now notice he didn't say, I'm smarter than them. He said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision in your head upon your bed. As for you, O king, your thoughts came to your mind and you were on your bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. You can imagine what this dream is about is when the church will be established. Give to Nebuchadnezzar hundreds of years before the establishment of the church. There's going to be four kingdoms. And those kingdoms are going to rise and fall, one following the other. And there's going to come a time when the Romans, clay and brass, are mixed together. At that time, I'm going to set up a kingdom in this world that's going to be here forever. Watch carefully. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, you saw and you beheld a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet were part iron and part clay. And you saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. And then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together. It became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that was smote, the image that smote the image, it became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. And this is the dream that we will tell, the interpretation thereof before the king. He's just told them what the king, what the other men couldn't. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the Lord God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, shall be given into your hand. You are made ruler over all of them. You are this king of gold. After you there shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, which shall be a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you know that the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But you shall not cleave one to another, even as the iron shall not be mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces, and the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king that which shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is certain. And then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, and he worshipped Daniel, and he commanded that they should offer an oblation and a sweet odors unto him. And the king answered to Daniel, and he said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal this secret. And then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And that's our second look at him. And Daniel has helped him with the dream. A remarkable dream to me because of the nature of it and what it covers. But what now has happened to, what has happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Well, Nebuchadnezzar is now where millions upon millions upon millions of people are. They have begun to decide and begin to realize because of what they see that there is something to this God. There is something to him. It's not just me. There's something about him that needs to be noticed. I mean, something's going to have to be done in our lives to kind of recognize that he is there. And that can come in a million different forms. They can hang trinkets all over their body. They can put lights on their houses. They can do all sorts of stuff. But millions upon millions upon millions of people are there tonight. That's where they are. Now we can go to chapter 3. And we're going to watch something else happen. And all of you know this story. This is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember this huge 90 feet tall made out of gold that this king set up. This huge statue. And he said, now when the music plays, and he's gotten all of, remember, he's over most of the earth as it was well at that time. He has brought all leaders of all different areas, the peoples, the nations, the tongues, and everything, before this statue. And he has said to them, now when you hear the music play, you fall down and you worship that statue. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not willing to do. And so we're going to go through what happened, and we're going to read that, and then we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar again. Okay? All right, Daniel 3. We're going to go 13 to 30. 13 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought them. They brought them to the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and you worship the will not worship the golden image I've set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the music, you are going to fall down and you are going to worship the image that I made. And if you don't worship it, you're going to be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that is going to deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all of us need to remember what was said here, answered, and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to even answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, then we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods, we will not worship the golden image that you've set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spake and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hoses, their hats, their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's commandment was urgent and the fiery furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He rose up in haste and he spake and he said to his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said unto the king, true, O king. He answered, he said, lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, they gathered together and they saw these men, upon whom the body, the fire, had no power, nor was their hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and he said, blessed be the king, or the God, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. I'm going to make a decree. Watch carefully. We're back to Nebuchadnezzar again. Every people and nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God can deliver after this sort. And then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Realize what just happened? The old king, that when we first met him, everything was for him. That didn't matter where it came from. It was God's. He took it, and it's his, and he's going to use it to his benefit. The second time we saw him, he now has begun to realize, now this God, this fellow in heaven, this Heavenly Father, there's something to that. I don't know what, but there's something to it. There's just something to it. We need to take our lives, and we need to just put a little bit of effort out toward him while we live here. We're going to have to, as we live in this world, we're going to have to realize who he is and what he is and just give him a little bit of our time and what we have here, our energy. Now we've seen him the third time. And he's on a soapbox now. And you and I have seen people just like him on a soapbox. I'll tell you what you people are going to do from now on. You are going to serve that God. That's what you're going to do. And I better not hear any of you say anything against him. And he didn't tell them who they had to worship. He just said, now this God is somebody you are going to, whoever you worship, you're going to respect. You are going to look at him, and I better not hear anything, anybody say anything bad about him. And that's what you people are going to do. That's the next step, isn't it? We come to the time when we want to look around, we want to look at everybody else, and well, I'll tell you what's wrong with him and what's wrong with her. And we're going to have to, they really do need to straighten out what, did you know none of that matters? That is really no more effective and purposeful in going to heaven than the first two. It doesn't have to do with that. And we got one more chapter. We get to look at Nebuchadnezzar one more time. And I'm glad we do, because we're going to see what it ought to be. And that's critically, critically important. And I realize as I look back across his life and I watch the differences, I see him these three times, that those don't matter. If part of my life is wrapped up in that, I need to change it. So chapter 4, okay? And we're going to go down to about verse 24 before we even start reading. And Nebuchadnezzar has had another dream. And Daniel is very concerned about this. He's very worried about it. Because he does not want to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream is, and he doesn't want to tell Nebuchadnezzar what it means. It's Nebuchadnezzar himself that says, Daniel, go ahead and tell me. I need to know. So we're going to begin reading about verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They're going to drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they will make you to eat grass like oxen. They will wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be sure unto you. And after that you shall have known that the heavens do rule. O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you. And break off your sins with righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. In other words, try to do something to help this be staved off for a period of time. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of his kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake, and he said, is not this great kingdom that I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might, by the might of my power and by the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice out of heaven saying to him, O King Nebuchadnezzar, thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. They will drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the fields. They shall make you eat grass like an oxen. And 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the high God rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled on Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He ate grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of those days, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. This is our last time to see him. Watch carefully. At the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and I honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, including myself, you might notice. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What are you doing?" At that same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, His ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase. That's what it's all about. That's where you and I are traveling. When we go before God and the books are open, there's not going to be anybody else there. It's not a matter of getting anybody else there. That's what we try to do through life, is try to help others to understand. But it's not a matter of correcting them on the way. They have to make those decisions themselves. We just teach truth. All we do is teach truth. And I don't want to bring it to myself, what God has given me, and use it for myself. I don't want to take that which God has, see all the glories and the majesty of Him, and then just say, well, I got to do something to try to, I don't want to correct others. I want the time to come in my life where I look at Him. And what this is all about is me, John, I am going to serve Him. And that's what it's all about. It's the strangest place in the world to find a story that teaches me the things that I need to learn throughout my life and where I need to, and the things I need to be careful about on the way and what I need to build in there. But it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Hope all of you can enjoy that later as you read it and see what Nebuchadnezzar there happened, because the stories, all of them are beautiful. But that little change in Nebuchadnezzar that happens as he is touched by the hand of God throughout them, it teaches me a tremendous story. And all of us, as we go on with our Christian lives, if we've been baptized, if we're a Christian, as we go through our Christian life, that is our journey. That's where we're headed. We want to have, finally, that attitude that says, I am the one who's serving God. It doesn't matter anybody else. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. That's all fine and dandy. I heard somebody say one time, I'll eat glass, and it doesn't matter. I know what I've got to do. That's right. That's where we're headed. That's a strange place to find it in this old king. But that's where God taught it to us. Okay. Thank you. Let's all stand and sing together.